Welcome to Base by Base, the paper cast that brings genomics to you wherever you are. Thanks for listening, and don't forget to follow and rate us in your podcast app.
Glad to be here for another deep dive.
So, you know, for years, whenever we've talked about human inheritance, there's been this accepted, almost comforting number that gets thrown around in biology classes.
Right, the classic 60 to 70 new genetic mutations per generation.
Exactly. Science told us that with every generation, a child inherits roughly 60 to 70 new typos from their parents.
Yeah, and it became this gold standard number, right? Because it felt very precise. It gave us a baseline for understanding how slowly or quickly our species actually mutates over time.
But I want you to imagine that you're tasked with searching for typos in a massive, multi-volume encyclopedia.
Okay, daunting.
Very. Only you're just checking the paragraphs that use simple, basic words. You're completely ignoring the complex paragraphs because they're printed in a font that's just, it's too dense, too chaotic, and just way too repetitive to even read.
Right, you're just skipping the hard parts entirely.
Exactly. So what happens to our understanding of human biology when we finally develop the technology to, you know, read those unreadable parts of our own genetic code?
Well, you inevitably find out that the encyclopedia has a lot more typos than you ever thought possible.
Mm-hmm.
And they aren't just randomly distributed either.
I mean, I kind of think of it like this. Standard genome sequencing has basically been like a map app on your phone that only shows you the well-paved highways.
Yeah, it gets you from point A to point B.
Right, but it completely ignores all the complex shifting off-road terrain, which is where all the actual geological and like volcanic activity is happening.
That is a perfect way to look at it. And to finally map that unpaved, complex genomic terrain, it required just this unprecedented collaboration and basically a multi-platform technological assault.
Which is what we're looking at today.
Exactly. Today we celebrate the work of David Perubsky, Evan E. Eichler, and the massive collaborative team across the University of Washington, the University of Utah, PacBio, and others who have advanced our understanding of human genetic variation. We're doing a deep dive into their paper, Human De Novo Mutation Rates from a Four-Generation Pedigree Reference, published in Nature on Events, April 23, 2025.
It's honestly incredibly fitting. I mean, a study aimed at deciphering the absolute most complex interconnected structures in human DNA required an equally complex interconnected web of, you know, institutions and sequencing technologies just to actually pull it off.
Oh, absolutely. And to understand the sheer scale of what this team accomplished, we kind of have to look closely at the blind spots of past genetic research.
Right. Because we missed a lot.
We missed so much. For a long time, the absolute workhorse of genomics has been short-read sequencing, or SRS.
Okay, let's unpack the mechanics of that really quick for everyone. Short-read sequencing is essentially taking the genome and just chopping it up into tiny, manageable pieces, right?
Correct. You chop the 3 billion base pairs of the genome into fragments that are maybe a few hundred base pairs long.
Just tiny snippets.
Exactly. Yeah. You read those tiny fragments, and then you use algorithms to try and map them back onto a generic reference human genome just to see where they fit.
Got it.
And this works brilliantly for the simple, well-behaved regions of our DNA, which we call the euchromatin.
Okay, so going back to my map analogy, those are well-paved highways.
Yes, the highways with very clear road signs. But that method completely fails, just falls apart in highly repetitive regions.
The off-road terrain.
Right. Think about the centromeres at the structural center of the chromosome, or the Y chromosome in males, or these areas called segmental duplications.
Why does it fail there, exactly?
Because if you chop a highly repetitive region into tiny pieces, all the pieces look identical. The mapping software literally cannot tell if a piece belongs at the beginning of the repeat or the end of it.
Oh, I see.
Because these dark regions were systematically excluded from past studies simply because they were just too hard to read, our global estimate of the human de novo mutation rate has been fundamentally incomplete.
And when you say de novo, you mean those brand new mutations appearing in a child for the very first time, not just inherited from the parent's existing makeup?
Exactly. New variations.
I really want to visualize this short read problem. It sounds to me like trying to assemble a 3 billion piece jigsaw puzzle, where like 8% of the puzzle is just a picture of like a clear blue sky.
Yeah, exactly.
With those tiny short read puzzle pieces, you have absolutely no idea where they go because every piece is just a featureless blue square. You need bigger pieces to see the clouds or the edges just to know how they fit together.
And that blue sky represents 8% of your own genetic code. I mean, excluding 8% of the genome because we couldn't assemble it means we have been entirely blind to the most dynamic, rapidly evolving parts of our biology.
We're just ignoring it.
We were missing the engine room of genetic variation. So to solve this puzzle, the research team completely discarded the old single technology generic reference playbook. They decided to look at one specific family, but look at them closer than anyone has ever looked at a human being before.
And this is the CEPH1463 family.
Yes. A single four-generation, 28-member pedigree.
Wow, 28 members.
Yeah. They've actually been a staple in genetic research for decades, but they've never been analyzed at this resolution. Because instead of relying on one sequencer, the researchers brought five distinct sequencing technologies to bear on this family's DNA.
Let me pause you there.
Five.
If a technology is good, why on earth do we need five different ones? Because that sounds incredibly expensive and just painstakingly slow.
It is, but each technology has a different superpower and a different weakness. So they used PacBio Hi-Fi for highly accurate long reads that gives you the bigger puzzle pieces you mentioned.
Right.
But even those aren't always big enough. So they added ultra-long Oxford nanopore sequencing to act as these massive bridges over the widest, most repetitive canyons of junk DNA.
Okay, so that handles the massive structural gaps.
Right. Then they use a technique called StrandSeq to track how whole, intact chromosomes are inherited. And finally, they layered in Illumina and Element AVTi sequencing.
What do those do?
They're fantastic at catching the tiniest single-letter variations, especially around tricky, stuttering areas of DNA called homopolymers.
Okay, so they essentially built this specialized toolkit where the strengths of one sequencer completely cover the blind spots of another.
Exactly.
But I do have to push back on the study design for a second. Why spend all this massive effort, time, and, you know, computational power on just one single family? Doesn't science usually want thousands of people to get a statistically significant average?
Normally, yes. Population-wide averages definitely require large sample sizes. But here, they weren't looking for a broad, blurry average. They were trying to establish a flawless, absolute baseline.
Okay, a ground truth.
Yes. By triangulating five different machine error profiles on a known four-generation family, they created a perfect ground truth reference.
So it proves it's not a machine error.
Exactly.
Okay.
If you see a mutation in generation 3, you can look at the exact same DNA in generations 1, 2, and 4 to prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that the mutation is real and not just a glitch in the software. You can literally watch the mutation happen in the parents and then watch it get faithfully passed down to the great-grandchildren.
That is wild. And the way they mapped this is fundamentally different too, right? They didn't just map these reads to a generic standard genome like you mentioned earlier. The paper notes they built near telomere to telomere phased assemblies.
Yes, and that is the crucial methodological breakthrough here. Telomere to telomere means end to end.
The entire chromosome.
The whole thing. They reconstructed over 95% of the exact intact physical chromosomes for the parents. And the phased part means they successfully separated the maternal copy of the chromosome from the paternal copy.
So tying this back to the jigsaw puzzle analogy, instead of taking their puzzle pieces and looking at a generic picture on a puzzle box from the store, they literally built the exact complete picture of the mother's DNA and the complete picture of the father's DNA end to end.
Right.
And then they compared the children directly to that specific map.
It creates absolute certainty in regions where we previously had zero certainty.
Mm.
And this flawless multi-generational ground truth didn't just tweak our old mutation estimates, it completely shattered them.
Okay, let's look at the numbers then. We started this deep dive talking about that comforting old textbook number, you know, 60 to 70 new mutations per generation.
Right, well, when they finally illuminated the dark regions of the genome and compared these intact chromosomes, they found 98 to 206 de novo mutations per transmission.
Wow!
Yeah, the average was 152.
They more than doubled the accepted rate of human mutation, literally just by turning on the lights in the rest of the genome.
It's incredible.
Let's break down the architecture of these 152 mutations. What exactly is changing in the code?
So on average, you're looking at about 74.5 single nucleotide variants.
Mm.
Those are your classic one-letter typos in the genetic code, like an A swapping for a T.
The ones we're most familiar with.
Yeah. Then there are 65.3 tandem repeat variations.
And those are?
These are sections of DNA that repeat like a stutter. And the mutation is basically the stutter expanding or contracting.
Got it.
And crucially, 4.4 of these mutations are happening right inside the centromeres, which are the structural center of the chromosomes.
You know, the part of the breakdown that absolutely amazed me was the Y chromosome.
Oh, yeah. the male-specific Y chromosome heterochromatin just, it is a highly volatile environment.
The study showed it is at least 30 times more mutable than standard autosomal DNA. 30 times. They were tracking 12.4 de novo events per generation just on the Y chromosome alone.
And the mechanism behind that volatility is what makes it so interesting. The Y chromosome is full of these highly identical repeating blocks. They're specifically called DYZ1 and DYZ2 repeats. And because these blocks look so similar to each other, the chromosome constantly undergoes this process called inner locus gene conversion.
Hold on, inner locus gene conversion, is that essentially the DNA using a backup copy of itself to overwrite another section, but maybe like making a mess of the folder structure in the process?
That is a very apt way to look at it. The chromosome is essentially using copies of its own sequences to overwrite other parts of itself. It folds over, gets confused by the identical repeating blocks, and just transfers genetic information from one repeat to another.
So it's just a localized hotbed of genetic reshuffling.
Exactly.
But wait, if the Y chromosome and the centromeres are rewriting themselves 30 times faster than the rest of our DNA, how is it that we aren't mutating into a different species entirely?
That's the big question.
Right. Like, how does the human body maintain physical stability? Doesn't this extreme mutation rate challenge our basic definition of what a genetic error even is?
The field is absolutely grappling with that exact question right now. Because, you know, we've traditionally viewed mutations as mistakes, just a straightforward failure of the cellular copying machinery.
A glitch.
Yeah, a glitch. But when you see structured, highly repetitive regions mutating at these extreme predictable rates without destroying the organism, it strongly suggests this structural fluidity might be a feature, not a bug.
Oh, wow. So it's supposed to do that.
Right. It allows the genome to adapt, expand, or contract these regions as needed over evolutionary time.
That is fascinating. Let's talk about where these inherited changes are actually originating, though, because the study highlights a massive paternal bias.
Yes. Between 75 and 81% of all germline mutations, and by germline, I mean the ones passed down through the sperm and egg, originate from the father.
81%. And the authors quantified this with startling precision. They calculated exactly 1.55 extra germline mutations for every single additional year of the father's age.
The older the father, the faster that mutation clock ticks.
Let's translate that math into real-world terms for you listening. A father who has a child at age 40 is passing on roughly 31 more structural genetic changes than a father who has a child at age 20.
That's right, because the male germline is constantly dividing throughout a man's life to produce sperm, which just means more opportunities for the copying machinery to slip up.
Makes sense.
But there is a crucial subset of mutations that completely ignores that rule. They found that 16% of the mutations are what we call postzygotic.
Meaning they happen after fertilization.
Yes. They occur very early in embryonic development, during those first few rapid cellular divisions after the sperm and egg have already combined.
Right.
And what's remarkable is that because these happen independently in the embryo, these postzygotic mutations show absolutely no paternal bias and no parental age effect whatsoever.
Ah, so the inherited sperm and egg only represent chapter one of the story.
Exactly.
As soon as the embryo forms, it immediately starts writing its own unique code through these rapid cell divisions, generating its own set of structural changes.
And the realization that these rapid mutations aren't just rare errors, but are actually structural realities of early development, it leads directly into what this means for the physical architecture of our cells.
Because DNA is physical.
Right. DNA isn't just a digital code of letters sitting in a vacuum. It is a physical, three-dimensional structure that has to be organized, moved, and literally pulled apart when a cell divides.
Let's dive into the physical mechanics of those centromeres we mentioned earlier then.
Sure. So when cells divide, they have to distribute chromosomes equally. The physical attachment point where the cellular machinery grabs the chromosome to pull it is called a kinetochore.
Okay.
And that kinetochore forms at a very specific structural pocket in the centromere called the centromere dip region, or CDR.
Okay, so the team found 18 structural variations happening de novo, right, in these centromeres.
Yes.
And the paper notes that in one case, the dilutions and insertions were so massive that they physically shifted that centromere dip region by 260 kilobases.
Which is huge.
Right. Let me give you a physical analogy for this. Imagine that kinetochore attachment point as the heavy-duty trailer hitch on the back of a truck.
Oh, I like that.
Right. If a mutation comes along and literally moves that hitch 3 feet to the left, it fundamentally changes the mechanical stress, the balance, and the movement of the entire vehicle when you try to drive it.
That's exactly what's happening. Shifting that region by 260 kilobases changes the physical mechanics of life. It alters the epigenetic landscape and dictates how securely and accurately that cell is going to divide.
Because if it grabs it wrong,
if the cellular machinery grabs the chromosome in the wrong place, it can lead to massive chromosomal instability.
Hmm.
And we also see this dynamic, localized behavior in other repetitive regions too.
Like the tandem repeats?
Right. The researchers found 32 specific tandem repeat loci that recurrently mutate across different generations.
So it isn't random.
Not at all. Certain specific neighborhoods of the DNA are just constantly expanding and contracting.
That brings up an interesting contradiction regarding how we thought these structural variations formed in the first place. What about recombination?
Yes.
Because we've always been taught that meiotic crossover, you know, the process where the mother's and father's chromosomes swap genetic material before making a sperm or egg, we thought that was a major driver of structural variation.
Right. The prevailing theory was a process called non-allelic homologous recombination.
Big phrase.
Big phrase. But this study's high-resolution map completely debunked that for these de novo events. They found that these newly formed structural variations do not overlap with meiotic crossovers.
Really? So if it isn't crossovers, what is driving the mutation?
They're happening through entirely different mechanisms. It's likely driven by replication slippage, where the DNA copying machinery literally loses its place in a highly repetitive sequence and accidentally adds or deletes a stutter, or, you know, that intralocus gene conversion we discussed earlier on the Y chromosome.
There was also a really strange finding about parental age and those meiotic crossovers, wasn't there?
There was. The researchers noticed a significant decrease in meiotic recombination events with advancing parental age in both males and females.
Wait, so the older the parents, the less their chromosome swapped material?
Yes. And there's currently no known biological mechanism that explains why crossover events would drop as parents get older.
Wow.
In fact, it contradicts some previous population-level studies that relied on that older short-read data.
So we can file that under a biological mystery that requires much more investigation.
Definitely.
Which, I guess, brings us to a vital limitation of the study that the authors themselves acknowledge.
Right. This multi-platform telomere-to-telomere approach yielded a flawless map. But it is a map of only one family with one specific European genetic background.
Just the CEPH1463 family.
Exactly. To understand the true global average of how these dark regions behave, and to see if mutation rates vary across different populations, science needs to sequence many more diverse families using this exact same multi-platform blueprint.
So, if we step back and synthesize all of this, what is the grand takeaway for everyone listening? What is the central insight of this deep dive?
The core insight is this. Mutation rates are not a static, uniform rule applied evenly across the genome. They are highly localized.
It depends on the neighborhood.
Yes, the specific neighborhood of the DNA dictates how fast it mutates. By combining five advanced sequencing technologies to read the entire unbroken genome of a four-generation family, science has discovered that human mutation rates are double what we previously thought.
Which is just staggering.
It is. And this increase is heavily driven by the repetitive dark regions of DNA and profoundly influenced by both the father's age and the physical mechanics of early embryonic cell division.
You know, recognizing that our genetic foundation is highly localized and mechanically shifting, it fundamentally changes the map of who we are.
It really does.
Which leaves us with a final thought to mull over. What does this mean for our understanding of human evolution? If the dark matter of our genome is mutating at 30 times the rate of our standard genes, are these repetitive regions actually the real engine of human adaptation?
I mean, we've spent decades looking for evolutionary answers under the streetlight simply because that's where the technology allowed us to see.
And now we can finally see into the dark.
Exactly.
This episode was based on an open access article under the CC BY 4.0 license. You can find a direct link to the paper and the license in our episode description. If you enjoyed this, follow or subscribe in your podcast app and leave a 5-star rating. If you'd like to support our work, use the donation link in the description. Now stay with us for an original track created especially for this episode and inspired by the article you've just heard about. Thanks for listening, and join us next time as we explore more science base by base. We'll be right back.
tide. Tandem echo, stress jars, V-inch spin. Centrum myth underwear, the repeats begin. Satellites singing on a long white train. Fast changing letters in a looping chain. We validate the jump, we follow the hand. Transmission footprints in the shifting sand. Big moves, small typos, different kinds of new. Benchmarked against the clearest view. No crossover shadow where the breakpoints land. Just repeat made storms in a quiet. Measured seas.